Praise the Lord. So good to see all of you here today and all of you that are watching by Facebook. We're so glad that you've joined us today.
Amen.
And I know God's got something special for you today. Amen.
Amen.
He is a special God, isn't he? He is an awesome God. And he knows just what we have need of today. And we just want to welcome you. And I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock at Oasis. And now I'm going to turn it over to Pastor.
Well, it is neighbor looking time, and we know at this time we look at our neighbor, we smile at our neighbor, we point at our neighbor. Even if you're at home today, smile at your neighbor, point at your neighbor, and say to your neighbor, I came
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'll never ever
be the same
again
in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and just want you to hold your hands out this direction, if you will. And Father, we just come before you this day, and Father, we just are wanting to be vessels to be used by you to speak exactly what you want us to say this day. Let revelation knowledge pour forth from us and from your scriptures this day. Help us to say exactly what we should say and leave off anything that we should leave off. Help us to flow in your anointing this day. Help us to have strong utterance this day. Help answers come to people this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. And the title of the message this morning is Take God Off the Shelf.
Amen.
So, y'all knew we had the shelf up here for something. And we normally don't have a shelf up here if you're in the congregation this morning or online this morning. And this is God. God's on the shelf. Okay. So I'm going to start out this morning by reading from Jeremiah 29 and verse number 13. This is in the New International Version. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That same scripture in the Amplified. Then with a deep longing you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And he is a vital necessity in our lives. Amen. On Facebook this week, Jeanette Clay posted, when you sincerely search for God with all your heart, God will reveal Himself in some way. That is so true. That just comes straight in line with these scriptures today. Now, I got some questions for you today. Is God dealing with you about your walk with Him? About making time for Him? Now, what we do is we make time for what's really important in our lives. Not just what we say is important. Talk is cheap. Sometimes we get too casual with our walk with God. Well, God knows I'm tired. God knows I'm busy. God knows I need my sleep. God understands. Really? Truthfully? We're deceiving our own selves sometimes because we make time for what's really important to us. Don't get too casual. This word is for all of us today. Don't get too casual with your walk with God. Don't be casual about the Word. Don't be casual about prayer. If we get too casual, we won't have a walk with God. Hebrews 2 and 1, and this is in the New Living Translation. I love it. This is a really good way to put this. It's called a warning against drifting away. And it says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth that we have heard, or we may drift away from it. So we have to be very careful not to. Now, about a month ago, 5 or 6 weeks ago, I was reading some stuff online in Guidepost. And I love their articles, and there's just so many things that minister to me, and I like it. And I came across one, and it said, would you like to read something from somebody? And it was like 64 years ago. And it was Glenn Ford. And I know when I mention that name, that's lost on a lot of you. You don't know who Glenn Ford is because he's not somebody current. Glenn Ford is a famous actor many years ago, and him and his wife, she was a famous dancer and he was a famous actor. His wife was named Ellie. And he he put this on, this was in the Guidepost magazine back, you know, like I say, 64 years ago in April 1956. And I'm just going to read a couple of little, several little excerpts from it. I'm not going to read the whole article. And here's what he said. I just thought this was so good. He was a very famous actor. He said, "We just got too busy. Ellie was breaking into musical comedy in New York, and I was making screen tests in Hollywood and appearing on Broadway." And he said, "Show business can be pretty high tension, whether you're scrambling up the ladder toward the top or balancing on one foot to stay there. Almost without my noticing the change." That's the way it happens. "Almost without noticing the change. Sunday wasn't a church day anymore. It was a day of rest. No performance, no audience, no tension. It was old clothes day, reading sleep day. For myself, I honestly believe that skipping church wouldn't dim my faith in God or make any difference in my relationship to Him. Occasionally, if I felt a personal need, as I did when my father passed away, I still went to church and came away strengthened and refreshed. Dad's passing when I was 22 left me more deeply disturbed than I would confess. I couldn't shake off my sorrow and loneliness. Still close to the church habit, I walked around New York one gloomy Sunday and finally entered a church at random. The minister read from the 14th chapter of John, 'Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.' That morning in New York was the first time that tremendous promise penetrated my consciousness, and I left that service filled with such peace as I hadn't known in many weeks. Now would any man wittingly turn his back on such a source of help? You wouldn't think so, but my immediate need had been met, and Sunday once more became a day of rest." I'm skipping down. There's a lot in this article. They tell over and over things about God that He did in their lives. And, oh, wow. I mean, He gave them favor. He put her back into what she was doing, but He did it for God. It was amazing. But he went on to say, "I learned that in neglecting church, neglecting my walk with God, I had been missing something. The church could act as a catalyst between God and me, help to keep me front and center in my consciousness, increase my awareness of Him in daily living. I found that from forming part of a congregation meant a closer tie with my fellow man, a giving, a sharing, as well as a taking. Gradually, I realized that things seemed to work more smoothly. I felt better, and I could only believe this stemmed from an increased vigor in my religious life, stimulated by they were taking their son, Peter, to Sunday school. I watched too as our friends who attended church as families and saw that church life seemed to act as a magnet, a center that drew them into harmonious unity." Now, so that was Glenn Ford, and he was telling how he didn't mean for that to happen, but God took a back burner in his life. He and his wife Ellie just got so busy with other things. Catch that phrase, other things, that God got crowded out. In the easy to read version, Mark 4, and I'm going to read verse number 18. It says, "Others are like seed planted." This is the parable of the sower. "Others are like the seed planted among thorny weeds. They hear the teaching, but their lives become full of other things. The worries of this life, the love of money, and everything else they want. This keeps the teaching from growing and does not produce a crop in their lives. Other things choke out our relationship with God. Even good things. Let God in. He wants in every area of our lives." Now, if I asked you another question today, and you just answered it to yourself, what percentage of your life do you give God? See, God wants to be Lord of our lives, not just on a shelf. A lot of people live lives, and God has a temporary position. He's only with them through the trial. They take Him off the shelf. Then, through the hard time, they take Him off the shelf. But then when that's over, they put Him back on the shelf. Now, y'all have heard this in businesses, and you've called. There's a message that we hear while we're on hold a lot of times. says, your call is very important to us. Please stay on the line. I hate it when I hear that stuff. And we will answer your call in the order it was received. Sometimes it can be a few minutes. Sometimes it can be hours. I have literally waited for hours on very important calls like that. And that line just keeps repeating itself over and over because it's on an endless play loop. And it says, your call is very important to us. The funny thing about that is we do the same thing with God sometimes. God, living for you is very important to me, but then we leave Him hanging on the line. We tell Him He's important to us. We tell Him that we love Him, but this week, God, I'll give you 20 minutes. That's all I can squeeze in this week for you, 20 minutes. I'm really busy. I'm tied up. Think of how God feels because we say, God, I love you with all my heart. You are so important to me. Yeah, He's really important. Not really. See, if we were important to the people that are hanging us on the phone, they would put somebody on there and they'd get us satisfied. They'd get something taken care of. And it's the same way with us. We do the same with God. Our actions have shown to God that He's not really as important like we say. He's on the shelf a lot of times in our lives until we have the time to take Him down. Actually, we had the time, but what we did was really important to us. Not just what we said was important to us. Have you ever had a problem? Now I'm going to give the illustration. And you're desperate for God's help. Then the things of God become the most important things of your life. I mean, He is front and center. You have got a problem and you're in desperate situation and God is no longer an afterthought. He's not on a dusty shelf somewhere. God, it's all about God. I'm going to God's house. I'm going to pray today like I ain't never prayed in my life. I'm going to do everything I know to do to get in line with your word because I'm in a desperate situation. I got to have you, God. I believe we've all been there. I believe there's not one of us watching online or in the congregation this morning that's not been in this situation. We're desperate to hear from Him. But some Christians, it's like, where did I put God? Where did I put Him? Oh yeah, I remember. After my last emergency, I put Him on the shelf. Wow, there's a lot of dust on that shelf. Hadn't pulled Him down in a while. Hadn't read His Word in a while. Hadn't prayed in a while. Hadn't been to His house in a while. Hadn't heard any sermons in a while. But now, this is an emergency. It's time to pray. It's time to hear the Word. It's time to give. I know this is not an easy message, but you know what? This is all of us at times. Amen. Every one of us, we're all in the same boat. Amen. Well, I got the doctor's report, God. And it is so bad, I don't know what I'm going to do. We take Him off the shelf. God, I need You like I've never needed You before. God, I need You to answer this prayer. I need You to go before me. I need You to help me. I need You to heal my body. He's off the shelf. And God gives us a miracle. Wow! It is fantastic when His glory is revealed and the amazing things He does. Back on the shelf. God, my car broke down and I have no way to get to my job. We take Him off the shelf. I got no way to get to my job. I can't get to the grocery store. How am I going to feed my kids? I'm not going to have the money. God, what are we going to do? God, please help me. Please help me. And God performs a miracle. He's so good to us like that. He's back on the shelf. God makes a way when there seems to be no way. Sometimes we give Him a little praise and sometimes we don't. God, my child is on drugs. God delivers them. God does a miracle. Some people, God has put on a shelf until they go through a bad, hard time. They'll take Him off the shelf and pray to Him because they're in a circumstance where they feel like they can't make it. They can't go on. God is being so good to us the way He is. He has mercy on us. He helps us through it. He gives us a miracle. He works it out. Now, for some people, even a lot of Christian, God goes right back on that shelf. They're not desperate for Him anymore. They draw close to Him during the hard trial, but things have returned to normal. They don't feel like they need to seek Him as strong. They go on with their lives. They don't go to His house much anymore. That's kind of an inconvenience. That would require a lot of effort. Getting in His Word would require effort. Praying, a lot of effort. See, they're not desperate for His presence anymore. So they put Him back on the shelf. Other things have entered in and choked the Word. For some people, God has a little portion of their lives just when they need Him. It's a one-sided love. And they look around in a little while, and He's not a very important part of their lives. The Bible says that's lukewarm. And says God would rather us be hot or cold in Revelations 3, 15 and 16, but He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. We all need God, but not just in an emergency. We need Him all the time. In every area of our life. God doesn't just want a relationship where we only take Him off the shelf when we're in a desperate situation. Let us not be a people that put God on a shelf and leave Him there. Let us be a people that God has the number one priority in our lives, where God is a part of our whole life, not just a little bit. Take Him off the shelf and leave Him off the shelf and give Him first place. Now I want to give you one more little illustration before I call Pastor Sharon. I remember many years ago, I was working two jobs for a long period of time, years. And I was doing many things at the church we were going to at that time, a lot. And I mean, I was busy, busy, crazy busy. And I was like a plate spinner. I don't know if y'all have ever seen those on the old shows. You know, the guy spins plate, he'll put a plate up there, he'll spin it, and he'll get it going, then he'll, you know, put another one on the next post, and you know, he'll get 15 plates going at one time, and he's trying to keep all those plates spinning before one of them falls off. And I reminded myself of, I was like a plate spinner. I got the jobs going, now I got the family going, now I got, you know, this going, the extra time going. I got the stuff at the church going, and I'm spinning the plates. I'm doing everything I can do. But to try to keep things spinning and moving. And then one night, in the middle of the night, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the morning, the Lord woke me up, and He gave me a scripture. This is many years ago. And it was Hosea 10 and 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Now I had to look that up because I didn't know what fallow ground was. It's unproductive ground, ground that is unused. And here's what He told me with that scripture. And when I say He told me, I got up and I knew I was supposed to get in my Bible, and I got in my Bible, and this scripture just, it's like it, I started reading scripture, and all of a sudden this one scripture, it just like it was illuminated. And that was the only scripture that I could see in my spirit. You know what I'm saying? It just, y'all know what I'm talking about. So He was telling me about the fallow ground, and He showed me that I needed my relationship with Him to be stronger. And He showed me, since I didn't have any time during the day, here's some fallow ground, some unused ground. Here's some unproductive ground that you can use to seek me, to talk to me, to spend time with me in the middle of the night. Since I had allowed Him to get crowded out of my daytime schedule, I'm talking about myself now. See, we all think it's things outside of our control, but that's not true. We just allow other things to enter in to our lives and choke out our relationship with God. See, if we allow other things to take the highest priority over God, God will get pushed out, pushed down, and put back on the shelf. But that's not His will. And I got one little thing to say today as Pastor Sharon is coming. For some today, I felt this very strong as I was preparing this. It's time to turn back to the Lord today. for whatever reason, you allowed your walk with God to drift away. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. Now you may be hearing the word today, and in your heart you know you've allowed yourself to be pulled away from your close walk with the Lord by distractions, by other things. Mm-hmm. And if that's you today, I encourage you, make a fresh commitment, a fresh consecration by rededicating your life to Him today, this very day. That's Sharon.
Amen. Praise God. What an awesome word. Amen. God is so good. He loves us so much, doesn't He? Okay. Still talking about taking God off the shelf. I'm going to start out by reading 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 in the Amplified Classic Edition. It says, "That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you." Now, this scripture reminded me of when I was a little girl and we would go to visit my grandmother. Now, my grandmother lived in the country, and she was very country, let me tell you. There is a difference in Southern and in country. She was a Southern country lady. And not to make fun of my grandmother, I loved her dearly. She's gone on to be with the Lord. But when I say country, she was country. And I mean, I didn't even know her language. She talked a different language than what we talk. And the place of fire, she would say, "Fur." I started the fur. And you know, I'd be thinking, where is the mink coat at or something, you know. But she just had her own language, and it was funny. And anyway, she lived in an old wooden house out in the country. And when you're inside the house, you could actually see outside. You could see through the wood. I mean, this is what an old country house she lived in. And the only source of heat in her house was the fireplace. And the fireplace was what in the room that they called the front room. They didn't even have a living room. Everything was turned into bedrooms. There was a bed in every room in the house. So the fireplace was in the front room. And believe me, you did not want that fire to go out in that fireplace. It had to be going, or it was completely freezing in that house. You can imagine. I mean, you can see outside from inside the house, so that tells you that was a cold house. And at night, you know, you would have like 4 or 5 quilts on top of you, so you're in the bed like, you know, you cannot move. You've got all these quilts, you can move your head, and that's it. And then you're just freezing. You're just laying there cold, just thinking, "I hope I can go to sleep because I'm so cold." But, you know, they wanted to keep that fireplace going. And so even during the night, they would have to get up several times during the night and stir that fire up, stir up the embers to keep that fire going. You did not want that fire to go out. And that was one thing about going to my grandmother's. I loved going to my grandmother's house. It was a blast, but it was so cold. Another thing, I'll just take a little side journey, was she had an outhouse. She did not have a bathroom. And I'll be honest with you, I was just a kid. I really didn't care that it was an outhouse. But what I did care about was the chickens. I don't know what it is. Birds do not like me. I mean, and here I'd be having to go to the outhouse, and I'm having to outrun the chickens to get to the outhouse. And especially the rooster. The rooster had it in for me. And I was the only one in the family. It didn't do this with anybody but me. But I did wonder, you know, I had a little dog named Fluffy. And I would take Fluffy with me sometimes, and Fluffy would chase those chickens. And my grandmother would be chasing Fluffy. And so Here's the chickens running, then my dog running after the chickens, and my grandmother running after my dog. And I'd be running to the outhouse. Good memories, amen. Good memories. Praise God. But anyway, they would have to keep the fire stirred up. They'd have to keep those embers stirred up so that the fire would not go out. And if you wanted the fire blazing, which we really wanted to keep it blazing, you have to add those logs on. You know, don't let it go down. Don't let the fire go down. And then add fuel. Keep adding fuel when the flames got low. You wanted those flames blazing. Well, you know, the Lord wants us to stay spiritually on fire for Him. And there's things that we have to do in order to stay on fire for Him, to keep our passion for Him stirred up. You know, we have to be the one, though. You know, we want God to do everything, don't we? We just want to be there. We just want to be available. We just want to be lazy, actually, in the spirit. But we have to be the one that takes that first step toward God. We have to be the one to stir ourselves up in the Lord. And the word stir up means, I want to give you a few definitions of stir up. It means to be enthusiastic, passionate, vigorous, to do something wholeheartedly or zealously, to rekindle or stir back to life again. And that's what we have to do. We have to stir our spiritual life back up again. Amen? We need to be zealous for God. Rekindle and restir our passion up for God. Do it wholeheartedly. Live for God wholeheartedly. As Pastor said, don't keep putting God on the shelf and expecting Him to be there anytime we get into trouble, we go through a hard time. No, we have to keep ourselves stirred up for God 24/7. Amen? All the time. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, I want to read that in a couple of different versions. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 in the Passion Translation says, never restrain put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. And then the King James Version says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Or quench not the Spirit. And so the word quench, it means to extinguish, smother, suppress, douse, put out, or snuff out. And you know, that's what happens when we don't keep God's Spirit stirred up on the inside of us. We douse it out. You know, and we snuff it out and all these things. We put the fire out. God is there. He's always there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is always there. And so it's up to us to rekindle that fire, to stir those embers up in the Lord, that excitement, that love, that passion for God. We have to keep it stirred up. Amen? And just like that fireplace, keep it burning. Don't let it go out. Stir up those embers. Keep that fire blazing. Amen? Keep it blazing. You have to add fuel to that fire to keep it blazing. We have to do it. The fire is not going to do it by itself. It'll go out. Just like in us, we have to do it. The fire of God will go out if we don't keep it stirred up. Amen? So it takes, we have our part to play. We have to do our part to keep that fire going. And you know, as Pastor was saying this morning, you know, maybe your relationship with the Lord's not where it once was. Maybe you're not, don't have that passion for God and for the things of God like you once did. But you know, the good news this morning is that God is a restorer. Amen? And God will restore your relationship with Him. But God is a gentleman. He will not force anything on you. He'll not force you to have a close relationship with Him. You know, so, but He greatly desires that. He wants that close relationship with us more than anything. Amen? And then in James chapter 4 and 8, it says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. So we have to take that first step toward God. We have to make the effort to have that close relationship with the Lord. We have to do it. We have to discipline ourselves. We don't like the word discipline, but we have to discipline ourselves, amen, to have that close relationship with the Lord. And I heard Terry Savelle Foy give her testimony a while back. And, you know, Terry Savelle Foy, she is Jerry Savelle's daughter. And I'm sure you've heard of him. He's a great minister of the Lord. And so Terry Savelle, she was brought up in a very strong Christian home, and she was surrounded with the Word of God. And but she said that she had a close relationship with the Lord, and then she went off to college. She went away to college, and then she kind of got like Pastor said, busy with college stuff, and she got into the wrong relationships. And she got into wrong influences. And so she, slowly but surely, God was getting snuffed out of her life. That close relationship with the Lord was getting snuffed out of her life because other things, she was allowing other things to come in. And she was putting God on the shelf. You know, and she said then she got to the lowest point of her life. And she realized, just like the prodigal son, she realized she had to get back to God. She had to get that fire back. She had to get that close relationship back to God, with God. And so she said, you know, she began every day. And this is an everyday thing, let me tell you, people. Your walk with God, your relationship with God is an everyday thing. But she began to seek the Lord. You know, sometimes it takes a breaking through. We have to break through those things that the world has put on us. We have to break through them. But she began to seek the Lord every day. She got on her face before the Lord every day and cried out to Him and poured herself out unto God. And then she would praise the Lord, and then she would worship the Lord, and she included thanking the Lord. She had gotten to such a dark place that she didn't think that she had anything to thank God for. But that is a lie of the enemy. Because then, you know, the light comes on. Yes, I have a roof over my head. I can thank God for that. No matter how dark the situation looks. No, you know, she had gone into a state of depression. Because the enemy is the liar and father of lies. He had told her she had messed up. You know, here she was, this great minister's daughter. And she had gotten away from God and was living in sin. Well, you know, the devil was telling her that she can never get her walk back with God. It can never be like it was before. That was a lie of the devil. He tells everybody stuff like that. He told her that, you know, she had messed up so bad. She had ruined her father's ministry. She had ruined anything that the Lord had ever had planned for her life. All lies of the devil. Amen. But, you know, God is so good, isn't He? So good. She continued to seek the Lord, and she had that breakthrough. She began to see the light. She began having that close relationship with God again. And she started listening to faith-building sermons every day. You have to surround yourself with the things of God, because if you don't, the world is going to come in somewhere. Or you're going to have some kind of disappointment. You're going to go through some kind of struggle, and it's going to try to snuff God out of your life. But we have to say no to those things. We have to have that discipline. We have to have a made up mind that no matter what my circumstances are, God is first place in my life. I'm giving Him my heart wholeheartedly. I'm giving Him my life wholeheartedly, no matter what comes and what goes. And in the middle of this pandemic, we're going to have to be stronger than we ever have been before, because the devil wants to isolate God's people. He wants to isolate you. Just like when you fall, the enemy tries to isolate you from the church. You don't need to go there. People are going to judge you. You don't need to go there. God's not going to bless you. You don't deserve it. Well, during this pandemic, we have got to stay stronger than we ever have before, because the world will try to creep in, and that's exactly the place that the devil would have us to be in. So, you know, I spoke it in one of the Faith Builders a few weeks ago, where I'm confessing that COVID is conquered.
Amen.
COVID is conquered. Amen. And I don't like this saying that's going around, this is the new normal. I'm not receiving that. I do not receive that this is the new normal. Amen. COVID is conquered. Praise God. And God, His church, His body, as much as the enemy is trying to fight it, we're coming back together. Amen. So COVID is conquered. Amen. Doesn't look like it in the natural, but we're speaking the word out. Amen. We're speaking by faith. Hallelujah. We're setting up spiritual boundaries against the enemy with the words of our mouth. So we're not saying this is the new normal. Amen. We're not saying that. Praise God. Amen. But Terry Savelle, she filled herself up with God. She stirred up her passion that she had for God, and soon that relationship was restored. And you know, God is so awesome. He's so good and so loving and caring and so forgiving. And you know, the awesome thing about God is that He doesn't just restore. He makes it better than it was before. Amen. So Terry's relationship with God was better. It was stronger. She knew what to look for when the enemy would try to come in. She knew how to stop those things, and she knew what to do. Get with God. Put Him first place. Serve Him wholeheartedly, and surround herself with the Word of God. Surround herself with the things of God. And so today, she has a large ministry, and she goes around the world and she ministers the gospel, and she helps so many people. And see, that's what God wants to do. Amen. He is a restorer. He wants to put back together. If your relationship has been severed with God in any way, it's not God. God has never left you. He's always been right there. And He's just waiting for you. You know, He's waiting for you to come back to Him. Get that passion back for Him. And realize that you can't do it without Him. You cannot make it through this world without God. We have to have the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And Pastor, if you'll come back up here, please. And if that's you today, Pastor brought it out, I brought it out, that if your relationship is not where it used to be with the Lord, it's not too late.
That's right.
Amen. God is the restorer. Yes. God wants that relationship more than anything, even more than you want it.
Amen.
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 So we want to give you the opportunity this morning. If you want that relationship back close and strong with God, mm-hmm. to pray this prayer with us. You know, it's very simple to get back with God. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outside, but uh-huh. God sees what's in your heart.
Amen.
So let's just pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I rededicate.
I rededicate.
And I reconsecrate.
And I reconsecrate.
My life to you.
My life to you.
Lord, I wholeheartedly.
Lord, wholeheartedly.
Surrender my heart.
Surrender my heart.
To you.
To you.
Rekindle this passion,
rekindle
Father.
Rekindle this passion,
and
Father.
And help me.
And help me.
To walk pleasing in your sight.
To walk pleasing in your sight.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Give God a hand clap
Praise
this
God.
Morning. Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And before I turn it over to back over to Deborah, also, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord of your life and you'd like to invite him into your heart this morning, we want to give you that opportunity. It is the greatest thing that you will ever do in your life. Amen. Your life will be so much greater. And the peace of God, there is nothing like having the peace of God in your heart and in your mind.
Amen.
And so we want you to, if you will, pray this prayer with us this morning. Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins.
I ask you to forgive me of my sins.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
And be my Lord and Savior.
And be my Lord and Savior.
I surrender all. To you this day.
To you this day.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Give God another
praise
hand
God.
Clap of praise,
praise
this
God.
Morning.
Praise
Deborah,
God.
Deborah.